Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
So what's the deal? Both the San Francisco Giants and the Golden State Warriors forgot to finish the games that they were winning last night. They were in front, dare I say, almost just a scotch in control. Certainly the Giants were. Look, for the Warriors, it feels like they were about to win a game and then didn't would be a good way to describe like no fewer than 12 to 14 different regular season games for the Warriors this year. For the Giants, under their circumstances, that wasn't expected last night. And I know that you can tap the cliche button at any point in time and get a, you're never out of a game at Coors Field. But, man, I thought that they had that one in the barn. I hate seven-inning games. And that's where we start today's show. Hello, Ray Ratto. Welcome back to the studio, and welcome back to everybody being upset. Well, all of a sudden, things are going good in the Bay Area. Then the Warriors blow it last night, and the Giants blew it last night. At least the A's win.
Although, let's face it, the Warriors you could have seen coming down, you know, down Broadway, because that's who they are.
It is. Yeah, there's no surprise there.
And there's not a huge surprise about the Giants either, only because of the place in which they play. And I don't know what the meteorology effects are when it's cold, but balls were flying out of there last night. Ball flew out of there today. I mean, it's like old-fashioned Coors Field where, you know, no lead is safe up to 12.
We're going to need a bigger humidor. Look, Jake McGee has been good. He hasn't been great, Ray. He's been good.
He's been good.
He's not been great. He's got seven saves. He was tagged for four in runs last night, gave up four hits, and had to be pulled. His ERA is over 5.5. Again, they gave him a $5 million two-year deal that can grow into a third year. And I like the guy. I like the signing. That's your boy. I know it's not your boy, but it's the way we've been billing him here.
He's
on
hit
show.
The wall. Let's put it there. And it's a little early for the wall to be hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Camilo Doval last night gave up the game-ending three-run homer. And it feels like the Giants have just been bitten by a rookie throwing the last pitch in a loss a few times this year already. It's only happened really twice or two, three times. Feels like it's more than it really is. But it's a shame that they couldn't polish off what would have been a really impressive doubleheader sweep last night. And honestly, Ray, seven-inning games, I'm sorry, man. They're complete BS.
No, they blow. Because it assumes that all people want less baseball. And the fact is, there are a number of people who don't want less baseball. And the people who want less baseball have two options. Leave when you're bored with the game, or don't go to the game at all.
Right, or don't turn it on in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, it's the idea that baseball must conform to all the other sports or not be relevant. That is the wrong thing. There's plenty of that's wrong with baseball. But the basic structure of the game is not wrong just because it's different. And if they aren't firing on young demographics, well, figure something out.
Here's my biggest problem with seven-inning games. Seven-inning games that were actually put in place for a degree of safety to be implemented
Last season, I was willing to acquiesce to that. This year, seven-inning games are being held under an absolute ruse of safety. There is no more safety being implemented in a seven-inning game than you would have had in a nine-inning game. Not a single person in the dugout, in the broadcast booth, in the park, either as a fan or working that night, not a single person is safer or rendered more unsafe or put more in danger because 12 more outs were required for the completion of this nine-inning game. It's ridiculous. And that to me is the sinister thing. They are taking the cheapest available option and they're selling it under the guise of safety, which is intellectually dishonest.
It's that because, yes, last year it was health and safety. This year it's marketing.
Right.
But being intellectually dishonest is sort of what you expect out of baseball. What you don't expect and what they keep pushing is the idea that you will be happy with less of the thing you're paying full price for. Because, you know, if you subscribe to, you know, the MLB package, they didn't give you a cut rate based on, you know, double headers that are 22% shorter.
Right. How many innings am I missing? How many savings are you giving me? The answer is none.
Yeah. They're not charging any less.
Right.
When you go to the ballpark, you know, the hot dogs all of a sudden, you know, aren't, you know, 20% cheaper. They're taking more money and they're giving you less product. And that's, you know, that happens all around, you know, sort of commerce in America in the 21st century. But I don't know if it's intellectually dishonest as it is just dishonest, because I'm not sure how intellectual it is, because you could see right through it.
Yeah, you want to remove the word intellectual, you go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, but right. It's just saying we hate this game so much, we don't want to do it as often.
It's a bait and switch.
Well, then cut the schedule.
Yeah.
If it really bothers you that much, sell your interest in the team, quit your job as commissioner. However you do this, you know, don't be bothered by it anymore. Life's too short.
I don't like seven-inning games, but I do like seven RBI days out of Brandon Belt. There probably won't be many of those remaining in his life, so enjoy them while you can. And again, the Giants were really set up to have themselves a great day yesterday, but they let go of the rope at the end. And man, that explains the Golden State Warriors once again. I know Steve Kerr was asked an awful lot about it. We got some good sound to get into from Kerr, from Steph Curry, and I think we have to revisit a topic that we got onto a couple of weeks ago, and we even asked Steve Kerr the last time we were talking to him about these empty roster spots and why they haven't been filled. And, you know, Steve basically gave some answers that on the surface worked at the time, but I don't know if they work so well now because they lost a game because they ran out of gas because they're intentionally going into game shorthanded last night. It's a choice. It's a choice that they're making because of financial reasons, which are significant, but are also not supposed to play a significant role in how this team goes about trying to win basketball games. That bothers me. It bothers me a little bit, and they have absolutely given it the office to field a team this year. But in for a pound, what's a few pennies more? Even though it's a lot more than just a few pennies, it's odd to me that they would walk this deep into a season, as shorthanded as they are, playing the important basketball that they need to play right now. And they seem to have done it, I don't want to say intentionally, but they've done it willingly, and they don't seem to be admitting that it was an unwise strategy to be so shorthanded.
No, they did it intentionally. They had intent to have a short roster, and they
did
it.
Yeah.
So that's true. The second thing it raises for me, and I don't have enough evidence to plant my flag on it, but if money is an issue at this low a level, who's to say money isn't an issue at the upper levels? Because you're not saving that much. So the idea that maybe Joe Lacob has unlimited pockets and unlimited sleeve length might not necessarily be true, because this is not a place where you economize. If you feel like the tax is such a burden, you know, you've got to do bigger things than that. And if it's not that big a burden, then give yourself the best chance to win. Because they're clearly not tanking.
Oh, no, they're definitely not tanking.
I mean, they want to be in the play-in. They want to be in the playoffs. So I'm not sure what the economy is that is so valuable that it doesn't work against them, at least to a measurable effect, by playing with a short bench. Unless they're telling us something else. And the other thing it could be is we don't have any other players.
There's an element of that, and that's something that Steve brought up with us when we actually asked him about it. And we will get into that soundbite so nobody's misquoted or taken out of context at all today. And we're going to put it all on the table.
Some fun out of the day.
Yeah, absolutely it will. But we do want to get it right, and we're going to get it right with you today. We're certainly going to get things right a little bit later on. Kaylin Kaler is joining us from The Defector. She is part of the Rado Extravaganza website that they are part of. And she wrote a really interesting article about how fewer bodies were eligible to be drafted in the NFL this year. What did that mean to the player pool coming in and to the choices that were being made league-wide? A really interesting article that she came up with. And then she followed that up today with an article about Deshaun Watson's penchant for massages that is, well, it's time to pretty much bring that back into the show since we haven't heard much about it. What could all that mean? She's going to join us to talk about that today. Tim Kirkjian to talk about his, rubber Yoda mask that he wore last night. That felt like a little bit of a bait and switch. We got a rubber Yoda mask. It was like a bad Halloween costume.
I hope his children are as ashamed of him as I am.
I can't wait for you to greet Tim Kirkjian a little bit later on today.
Oh, that's the opening question.
We've got Anthony Slater. He's stopping on by again to talk about the fact that The Athletic has caught up to the topic that we put on the table for the Warriors just last week when we were talking to Steve Kerr. Why these empty roster spots? Why are two roster spots being occupied by players who either represent human victory cigars or white flags? So what is going on? We are going to get to the bottom of it. Having said all that, nobody questions how many guys are available for the Warriors when they win. It only happens after a loss, but they lost one last night. Now come home to wrap up their season with a 6-game homestand. So interesting times indeed. Welcome to a What If Wednesday here on 95.7 The Game. You miss anything we do, make sure you check it all out on the Odyssey app, radio.com. No more. We are Odyssey, and we're brought to you by Network Capital Funding.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
You know, it's not very often we get to make a major announcement on the show. There's not a lot of major things that happen, to be totally honest, that are worthy of major announcement status. But the next piece of news officially is, as all of you know, it is return to the studio week here on Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky. Yet we cannot fully form Voltron because Matt has not been with us in studio this week. He has been home this week, and he is going to be home next week as well. And to explain why, we're very happy to welcome Matt Kolsky via technology to the studio, at least in his voice. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, I'm here.
There he is. You sound like you're here. That's pretty good. I'm impressed.
Nice. I just wanted to call in to tell the whole world, you know, I won the lottery. I am moving to an apartment in the sky, and I'll never be back.
Congratulations to you and yours, and really to Ray and I as well, if we think about it.
Everybody wins.
Everybody walks away a winner. Now, look, I'm not going to spoil the pie here, or the punch. I'm going to let you say everything, but fresh off the NFL draft, the pick is in.
The pick is in. My wife and I are very excited to have just welcomed our daughter to the world. Our second child. Her name is Liana Jean Harmon Kolsky, and she was 6 pounds and 13 ounces and a bundle of joy, and we're all very happy. As you said, I'll be spending some child bonding time for the next couple weeks, but I very much look forward to getting back in the studio when I do return. And in the meantime, I'll be sending you guys lots of super cute pictures.
I believe the correct response is Mazel Tov. congratulations.
Thank you. Yes.
Congratulations to you and certainly to Joey. Joey did not have the smoothest of 9 month pregnancies, so we are thrilled that you guys have finally reached the end of the rainbow on this one. Very, very good.
Yeah, suffice to say, although I did not talk about it, obviously, on air, these are not the first days I have missed associated with this pregnancy, so we're very glad that everything went well, and we have a healthy little girl that I'm just going to go cuddle for a couple weeks. If I don't reach out, I'm probably alive. Don't worry about it.
There you go. It's not like Sunday and Kyle Shanahan. You know, who might not be this week?
Yeah.
Hand size 40.
By the way, go ahead, Ray.
No, I just go ahead.
I love that you guys still cut each other off. That's perfect.
We still can't. Yeah, all the time. It's even worse now because I can't see you guys on the Zoom. I should have got a Zoom. I did practically because I knew, you know, next time I'll be on the air, I'll be in studio. I essentially disassembled my home studio, so I'm sitting in even more disarray than you usually see me. What I was going to say, though, is very quickly, I have been reacquainted with the sleeplessness of early parenthood, and my goodness, it does mess you up good. I mean, I don't really know which way is up or what's going on around me right now. I think it's Wednesday, but I would not bet my life on that.
Well, congratulations. Now, what do you have to say about Tony La Russa today?
I'm disconnected. Did he do something specific today, or are we just talking about his general senility and inability to manage a baseball team?
Well, both.
A little bit of that. Yeah. A little bit of both.
They lose today 1-0.
Yeah.
And they're playing in Cincinnati, so they get to put the free runner on first. And because he didn't understand the new nuance of the rule, he had Liam Hendricks as his free runner rather than Jose Abreu. They don't score in the top of the 10th. Cincinnati scores in the bottom of the 10th. And afterward, one of the writers asks him why he didn't use Abreu, and apparently he just didn't know the rule. So,
I mean, look,
happy birthday, Liana.
Bad. What's incredible is, listen. Oh, by the way, yeah, Liana born May the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
Oh, there you
Star
go.
Wars Day. And Damon, don't think for a second, think that I did not try to squeeze Leia in at the last minute. You know, I was like, listen, May the 4th, Star Wars Day, maybe we just switch gears to Leia real quick.
You're not far away.
It did not go over.
You weren't far away. You weren't far away.
We're not far. We're close enough.
Can I ask about the origin of the name?
It is mostly a tribute to my wife's grandmother, who is our children's last remaining great-grandparent.
Nice.
In her mid-90s. It's mostly a tribute to her, but also we just liked the name Liana. Much as we did with our son Griffin, we really just like yelled names at each other for a few months until we settled on one that we were both like, that's good.
That's it. There it is. Hey, congratulations. We're so happy for you. Give the baby a kiss on the forehead for us. Give Joey a kiss on the forehead for us. You go and get all those little moments. Do me a favor. Next time you send us a pic, though, leave your chest hair out of it. I don't need to see any more of your chest hair in any pics of holding the baby against your chest. Thank you very much. Nice thicket.
I did immediately regret that, in my defense.
Hey, congratulations.
I sent it. It's like, you know, you're doing the skin to skin. But then I'm like, yeah, now I'm sort of sending half-nude pics of myself to the show, which feels like maybe a workplace decorum violation. So no more of that.
Great to see your baby. Don't need any more of your nipples in my life. Thank you so very much, though, for giving us a call. Look, I'm really happy for you guys, to say the least. Jillian and I are both thrilled for you. And we're like 3 months behind you, always on the kid report. Like, Jack's about 3 months younger than Griffin, and we're ready to go in about 3 months ourselves. So congrats. Have a
great couple
weeks.
I can't wait to do this exact conversation. Yeah, I can't wait to do the exact conversation in reverse when you're taking a few days off.
I would never call into this program. We're better than that.
Kolsky, before we let you go, can I ask you a question? Where do we stand on the nickname LJ for Leanna Jean?
We're totally good with LJ. She has so far been called LJ, Lily, Liana.
Grandmama?
I'm sure there will be more to come.
No grandmamas yet?
No grandmama. We're not going grandmama yet. Listen.
Too young.
You don't want to put that kind of pressure on a kid, okay? If she grows up and, you know, she's 6 foot one and she's yamming on girls, then we'll start with the grandmama. Okay?
There you go. Already dunking. We're very, very happy. Congratulations, pal. Absolutely thrilled for you.
Thank you, guys.
There he is. Standing O on the way out the door. Matt Kolsky, go love that little baby. Go snuggle for a couple weeks. That's good news. Even Ray is smiling.
I can't get over the fact that he thought that skin to fur was a good bonding technique.
It really, it's a thick, thick sweater.
I mean, it literally makes the child think that her father's a bear.
Look, it's a growing show. He had a kid. I had a kid. He's having another kid. I'm having another kid. It officially means, Ray, you're up.
No, what it means is your wives need to have a talk about schedules.
Yeah, there's that too. Lucas, Nash, either one of you currently in the making babies situations?
Not that I know of.
Well,
not a chance.
None. No.
Far from it, actually.
No, you actually have to be with someone to make a baby. Both these guys.
Well.
Available.
We got each other at heart.
You do. You really do. Yeah.
2021, Damon. Come
the
on.
Two of you.
Ray, you looking out in the field for anybody?
I'm looking out at a field to inter you.
Inter?
I shot my shot, Ray.
Yeah, and predictably, you missed.
Damon, are you going to be sending any chest hair pictures? You wish.
Do you really think they wish that?
No, no one wishes that.
No, I mean, it's literally like, hey, I've got some crime scene photos you might enjoy over dinner.
Seriously. Yeah. I got a buddy of mine who works in insurance, and he does insurance for eye doctors. So he's got a stack of photographs on his desk that would gag you with a spoon. And he usually likes to send those to us around breakfast time. Good times.
Yeah.
Let me show you a bulged out eye while you're trying to enjoy your breakfast.
I get that there's therapy involved in dealing with the horrible stuff that doctors look at, but not for sharing.
No. Definitely.
Some pathologies need to be held close to the heart.
Amen.
Face within.
And some babies need to be held close to the heart, but you shouldn't smother them necessarily in all the chest hair that Burt Reynolds could throw at a toddler.
And truthfully, any child worth his or her salt would prefer mom.
No doubt. And on that note, congratulations to the Kolskys. Okay, we're very, very happy for them.
Again, no hand size report, no 40 time, no Wonderlic score. We did not get nearly enough information.
We really didn't. We really didn't. Do you feel good about this draft pick? I don't know.
It's a reach.
It feels like a little bit of a reach. It's a reach. Anyways, congrats. Congrats, congrats, congrats. And now we go on with the show. It might be a reach for the Golden State Warriors to expect to play the rest of the year as shorthanded as they are. Last night, they definitely looked like they finished that game on fumes, having played so well the night before. It just didn't go nearly as well the second night around. Now, Lonzo Ball was much, much better, and you could just see the Warriors struggling with their legs. I mean, when Curry is missing that many fourth-quarter shots, you know the legs are gone. Steve Kerr talked about the team on fumes.
Yeah, I thought we were tired for sure. I thought both teams were tired, you know, back-to-back, obviously. And I'm really proud of the guys. I mean, they battled the entire way, and clearly we were tired in the fourth. And, give New Orleans credit. They made the plays that they had to win.
They did. Zion specifically with a couple real nice hustle plays on top of all the buckets that he gave the Pelicans last night. And they were, you know, they had a little bit of a back against the wall battle cry to play in their own locker room. But the Warriors lose that game, Ray, I think because they lost steam in that game because they didn't have nearly enough left to give. They had given the night before, and they were tired.
I think that might, though, be standard for most teams, you know, second night of a back-to-back. The shortness of the roster is something that should be discussed. But the thing about the Warriors is I think they probably would have lost that game if they'd played it tonight, too, because that is the nature of their season, and that is the nature of their character this year. So I don't know that it was weariness that cost them that game as much as I think they don't know how to force an advantage, even at this stage of the year.
I mean, a few guys on the team know how, but there's just not enough know-how.
Well, okay, that's a fair way to put it.
Kerr.
I think Curry probably has figured it out to a certain extent. But you cannot rely night in or night out on Wiggins or Bazemore or Poole, you know, when he's available, Oubre. There are too many guys who, and I'm not saying they don't work at it, but some guys who don't get the groceries delivered on a night-in, night-out basis, which means that Curry has to be like this so that these guys can stay in the play-in argument. And Draymond Green has to be good all the time for them to, you know, maybe inch their head above that. After that, you can't really put your pink slip on any of these guys in any given game.
I think there are three things that you can count on. You can count on Steph Curry being spectacular, you hope. You can count on Draymond Green giving you that all-round Swiss Army knife game. And you can count on Wiggins being there. Andrew Wiggins might not be the all-star that he was ever billed to be or the number one pick in the draft, but he's a good, steady NBA player. And if you value defense, Wiggins is a guy that you can start counting on for at least a consistent level of performance. I've got him off the list of things that are now inconsistent about the Warriors. Eric Paschal, the fact that he is consistently unavailable is a bigger problem than anything Wiggins gives you in a game. The fact that this team has two roster spots dedicated to two players that they just summarily refuse to play in a singular competitive NBA moment. Nico Mannion and Alan Smilagic are either human victory cigars or human white flags. So it's a shorthanded roster with two guys who are on your roster that you're not going to play anyways, and two just empty, there they are, fill them with whomever you like roster spots. And they just had a 10-day contract come up twice for Gary Payton Jr., and instead of adding him, they let him walk after the second 10-day. You're not allowed to sign a third 10-day contract, by the way. So they let him go, and it's because of, you know, a significant amount of tax dollars that get put on anything. But one of the things we've rejected, Ray, this year is the theme that they're wasting a year of Steph Curry. You can't go to five straight finals and wasted anything. They have maximized this man's prime. But when you want to talk about wasting a playoff opportunity, I think that does come into a little focus when you start looking at how short this bench is. That's where the waste comes in, by not being able to buy a few more minutes for your star, who is as important to your team as Michael Jordan was to his.
The difference is, it doesn't matter who you put in for him. The team is materially worse for every minute he doesn't play. And that's not a question of short bench. That's a question of you can't replace him. I mean, there's a reason why he's now playing 36, 37 minutes a night routinely.
Right.
Because he's vital. The other thing that I see when you just look at the fact that Mannion doesn't play and Smilagic doesn't play, I think they've made their information clear on them. They don't believe they're either ready or serviceable. Either way, this is a year when they could have been used and they're not used. And I don't see the value in not using them, and I don't believe that they do either, except for the fact that they don't believe they can trust them.
Yeah. I mean, there's no other explanation for it. They know, supposedly, the system, so it's about capability, and they continue to be deemed incapable of helping. And there's very little evidence that they have enough faith to just throw caution to the wind and throw them in there to see what you get tonight. I mean, these guys are basically DNPs.
But let's be honest, too. They're also second-round draft choices, and most second-round draft choices get this. So it's not like they were great finds, or at least they've given no indication that they are. They are your standard second-round pick who don't get to see the light of day in a game. It might just be that the obvious answer is right in front of us, is that they took second-round guys who didn't turn out to exceed their capabilities.
We asked Steve Kerr when he joined us just last week, why the empty roster spots? Why can't you sign somebody to help get a rebound, to help box out another big, to just give you a little size? And here's what Steve Kerr said.
No, because to be quite frank, there aren't any guys out there who can come in right now and help us win an NBA game. It might look good on paper to go sign a guy who's 6'10", but that player, in theory, if he was good enough to help someone win games, he'd be on a roster already. But more importantly, you bring a guy in right now who has no idea of your schemes, your play calls, your terminology. It's really tricky. So we're not. It's not like there's somebody out there who's ready to help us win games.
All right.
So see, that part I get.
So there's a part of that I do get, but there's also a part of that that's nonsense. Because as different and as unique as the Warriors claim to be, and in many ways really are, with the way that they go about with their style and blending in and this, that, the other thing, there's all of that, and there's also this. Get a rebound. Get the ball to Draymond or Steph, and get the hell out of the way. Like, you can get really, really detailed and nuanced, or you can follow those three steps just as well and probably have just as much success. Get a rebound, get the ball to the one or the two guys on this team allowed to do something with that ball, and just stay out of the way. That's it. That's all you need. You need rebounding. You need defense. You need a little shot blocking. You know? Are you at the point of the season where there's not a lot of help out there? Yeah. But you didn't reach this point in the season of being shorthanded just overnight, just last night. It's been like this all year. And players that have been picked up that have been difference makers for other teams could have been yours. You chose not to.
If playing in this system was as easy as you put it, James Wiseman would not have had nearly the difficulties he's had this year.
He's a rookie, though. He's a rookie. I mean, I'm not saying him bringing a rookie to play three games.
If it's get rebounds, get out of the way, then he showed that he could do that from time to time. But this is a more intricate offense for centers because it means you have to operate without the ball a lot more. And the fact is, if it was easy, we wouldn't have had the long debates about Weissman all year long. I think there's more to it than that. I also believe that 6'10 guys still, for the most part, are trained in college to be back to the basket, you know, old time centers. And the lure of Weissman was that he was different. And I think the Warriors want different. And I also don't believe that there are 6'10 guys of any capability out there anymore. You just look at the market. It's bereft of guys who can play because, as Kerr says, anybody who can already is. Now, did they wait too long on that? I think you can make a case for that. But at this point of the year, I don't think there's anything in the shelf.
I just think that they're waiting way too long for perfect to come on by and have passed on pretty good in the name of it ain't perfect way too many times.
I think they've passed on not very good. And I think there's a difference because Weissman didn't get hurt at an optimal time for them anyway. And if you brought in another guy, you know, I mean, who are you, you know, which of these guys are you ready to just lose? I mean, maybe they still believe in Smiley Geach. I don't know. But they're not playing him as though they do. So the question really is,
So they don't believe in guys who are from their own G League. They don't believe in guys who just got here. They don't believe in guys who, you know, used to be Jeremy Lin and are a little familiar. Like, do something. Well, I mean, the amount of reasons to never make a move are infinite. Here's a reason to make a move. Because you need another body.
And I'm not defending them. I'm just saying that needing another body, it's more than that. You need a productive body.
They're carrying two bodies with zero production on the roster right now.
Because they don't believe that they can produce. You have to find not just a body, but a body that you can put in a game and rely on. I mean, one of the reasons why Kevon Looney is now playing 30 minutes a game, for good or ill, is they can rely on him to produce X. Because night after night, he produces X. He might not produce X plus 5, but he produces X. And what I think they're trying to say is, we don't want to give 10 minutes to somebody who is X minus. And I don't have a problem with that. It does put a strain on them. And what it tells me is they probably should have acted earlier on this. But at this point, I think maybe that ship has sailed.
How about Gary Payton? Gary Payton.
I didn't see enough of him to know.
Exactly. They get a guy, and instead of figuring out who he is, they basically don't use him.
But maybe they figured out who he is.
All right, but then bring in the next guy. I mean, like, give me a little Farhan then. Guy X doesn't work out, go to guy Y. Guy Y doesn't work out, bring in guy W. Guy W doesn't work out, bring in guy Z. Guy Z fails, now we're back to guy A. You know, I mean, start the alphabet again. It feels like the Warriors were basically like, well, you know, we tried, we failed, we quit.
See, you know, I mean, I don't see what the tactical advantage is in we tried, we failed, we quit. I think what their problem is a more structured one. It's that they used to have a deep roster.
Right.
They don't now.
No, yeah.
And they don't have access to guys that would make them better. Because the point of just getting a guy to wear the jersey and run around for 10 minutes and commit five fouls and not help you is the equivalent of not taking that next guy.
But what's this coaching staff paid to do?
It's not a coaching staff issue, is what I'm trying to say. There are roster decisions that Steve Kerr doesn't get to make. He's in the room for him.
Yeah.
But and if it's not that, if what we just said is all nonsense and it's about the money, then you have to start facing the possibility that the Warriors now have a budget.
Well, and somebody on the text line says, you know, a $2 million player actually cost the Warriors $20 million. Hey, that's the neighborhood you bought a house in. You know, you can't take a Lamborghini off the lot and then complain about the size of the garage. That's the way that works. Gas prices are what they are. That, you know, that's the Warriors walked into this world wide-eyed, and here they are. And you got to live in the world that you make for yourself. We're coming on back in just a moment. Why are the Warriors carrying essentially four empty roster spots? Two unoccupied spots and two occupied by guys who are simply not allowed to play. Is that wasting Steph Curry's year? Forget about his prime. I don't know what prime is. I know they got six games left. They wasting that. 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7, The Game.
Welcome back. It is wonderful to have you here today. We're back in the studio. No Matt Kolsky this week or next. He hopped on with us to let us know that he is a new daddy, second time over, birth of a beautiful, healthy little baby girl. So we're very, very happy. Show's growing, expanding. Ray, you don't have to have any more kids for that to happen, so you're off the hook. Congratulations.
I've already gotten rid of the kids I have, so I'm back to square one and plan not to leave.
There you go. Empty nest. Love it while you can, baby. For the Giants last night, they forgot to finish off a game, and that felt like a little bit of a something different because they've really been finishing off games, and they've got one of the best records in all of Major League Baseball. We'll get into the reasons why they have been one of the best stories of the early year, the first month of the year, in just a little bit. The A's won again last night. They got a little streak going on. That's three in a row for the A's. They've been a team of streaks all gosh darn year so far. We've got Kaylin Kaler joining us from The Defector. And about a half an hour from now, she wrote a really interesting article about how fewer bodies there were. I'm just talking about draft-eligible bodies there were in this year's NFL draft and what the ripple effect of that was concerning the draft. Also, she's got a new article about the latest on Deshaun Watson, so she's going to stomp on by a little bit later on. And then Tim Kirkjian, without the rubber Yoda mask, will be joining us in a little bit.
Oh, wait. He's not wearing the mask?
He will not be wearing the mask for the radio hit.
Then I have no interest in talking to him.
Maybe he can put it on his lap and, like, pet its head or something while he's talking
to us. No. Full facial. Talk through it. I want to hear the muffled tones of his voice so that I know it's real.
Yoda with a Baltimore accent. It's about time.
Yeah. Speaking of which.
Yes?
John Means of the Baltimore Orioles has a perfect game through eight innings.
Through? He has recorded every out of the eighth inning. He is three outs away from a perfect game.
That is exact what it is.
Woo! Nothing builds like a perfect game. Every single person in that ballpark right now is having one of the greatest days of their life. I really mean it. It's an incredible thing to be a part of. It's suffocating in its pressure. And can we get that on? Do we have the package? Can we get that on in the studio?
It's got to be on MLB Network.
We got to put that thing on MLB Network. Can we get that on? Is there anybody in the studio right now? There's Lucas. Lucas, can we maybe do that? Could that happen? Ooh, I'm seeing things happening. I'm seeing channels being explored. Channels are being mined.
Yeah, I see an infomercial for under-eye bags.
What do we got? Orioles, Mariners. Okay, we're going to have it on. We will keep an eye on that perfect game. Three outs away. We'll let you know. We were talking about the Warriors. Warriors running into a loss last night because they ran out of gas. They ran out of bodies. I want to read from Anthony Slater's article in The Athletic. Michael Mulder has played 24, 23, 22, and 27 minutes in the last four games, and he had a rough showing last night. Jordan Poole's production has been spotty. Kent Bazemore, a sudden starter, had one of his rougher nights. And in the aftermath, you couldn't help but wonder whether the Warriors would have won the game had they had a few extra bodies with fresher legs and varying skill sets in those two vacant roster spots. And I think that this is where there's a disconnect between the question I'm asking and the answer that you are giving, that Steve Kerr has given us in the past. I'm not talking about a guy who's going to buy 20 minutes of game time. I'm talking about 8 minutes of game time. And if you can't hide a guy in an NBA court for 8 minutes, what the hell kind of coaching staff is that?
I don't think it's coaching, again. I think it's a general manager issue. And the only way that it makes sense to me is if the word has come down from on high, a.k.a. Joe Lacob, that
stop spending money?
Yeah, that they're not to push the tax issue anymore. That maybe there are actual limits to what he will throw money at. And maybe he will throw plenty of money to guys higher up on the roster chain. But at that stage, he says, nope, I don't want a $2 million guy who costs me $20 million. Now, is that different than the way he's operated before? For the most part, yeah. But I've always thought that there was a limit to even his largesse.
Well, of course there is. There's always a budget.
And I think we're seeing it.
Well, you know, I think we're seeing it because of just the circumstances, too, where you know that you're paying through the nose for a team that's going nowhere fast. Playoff appearance, play-in appearance or not, team's going nowhere fast. Like, let's be totally honest. What do the Warriors really need? They need two of the highest draft picks that they can get. More than they need a one game off against the Lakers. James Wiseman isn't going to taste the playoffs, period, end of story. Kelly Oubre is not going to be tasting the playoffs, I don't think, period, end of story, if he's really shut down the rest of the year. Steph Curry and Draymond Green need a token playoff appearance like I need another job in radio.
Yeah, but they want one.
You know, you don't always get what you want.
Those guys do.
No, they don't.
On this roster, with this owner, given what they've given, yeah, they get to have that.
Unless it costs about $20 million, apparently.
Well, they were out of the playoffs 3 weeks ago. Now they're in eighth. So they've gotten that far.
But you knew this ending was coming, right? Hmm? We kind of knew this ending was coming.
We thought it might, but they've been too erratic to bank on anything. Point is, they're a better team largely as a one-man band than they were at any point before this. I mean, Curry's sort of, psychotic epiphany, sort of matches when they got a roll going. And I think them getting in, and look, you said it yourself the other day, you would be thrilled with a play-in series with the Lakers.
It'd be fun.
Which could happen.
It'd be fun.
You would also be thrilled with a play-in series with Portland. Because Damian Lillard is worth the price of your eyeballs.
You know what I'd also be thrilled with? Two really good draft picks and not worried about, hey, we got roster spots that are either filled with air or guys who might as well be air in their jerseys because they give you about as much?
Well, Minnesota is, you know, they're winning games now. That when they beat the Warriors the other night, that was a great boon to the Warriors.
Yeah, because, that helped the Warriors pick.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they can't control that pick. And the other pick they have
is their own.
Yeah, but it's still middle of the round because they can't lose games as fast as New Orleans can lose them, as the Bulls can lose them, as Toronto can lose them, as Sacramento can lose them. They are about where they are at this point.
You know, though, but if you're in the middle of the round, the difference between picking 12th or 8th doesn't sound like a lot, but it could be the difference between that's where real NBA talent cuts off and over here it doesn't. And congratulations, you won a game against the Hornets and then a game against the Pelicans, and now instead of getting the good player, you got Alan Smilagic Part 2. Can't play him boogaloo.
But it's not the difference between 12 and 8. It's the difference between 16 and 15.
Hey, give it to me. Where did Kawhi come off the board?
If you see a guy you like, you can trade up. You're not doomed. There's 15. Always opportunities.
Is Bob Myers doing the right job?
Yeah. I mean, look, we don't know exactly why they are happy playing with a short bench. But if it's monetary, that's not his call. That's the call of the guy above him. If it's because they think it's good to only have 8 guys available, then that's a whole different discussion. And since I don't believe that they view that as a logical explanation for what they're doing, I'm going to assume that it's monetary. And if it's monetary, then you have to ask Joe Lacob that question, because I don't think it's a Bob Myers question.
Steve Kerr talked about how Steph Curry last night was battling through the fact that he was exhausted out there, and here is Steve Kerr.
He doesn't show frustration. You know, he just, the beauty of Steph is he just plays. You know, whether he's scorching hot or ice cold, he pretty much just goes and continues to battle and fight his way through everything. But a back-to-back of this nature, it's going to take something out of him. I mean, you guys know the stats. I mean, he runs something like 5.5 miles every single night. So, you know, if you're at home, try running back-to-back 10Ks and see how you feel. He expends so much energy flying around the floor. And so, you know, back-to-back with a lot on the line, playing 36, 37 minutes, that's a lot. But again, you know, this is the point in the season where we got to do what we've got to do. And, you know, we just couldn't get it done tonight.
Look, I just think it's tough, Ray, to say that we got a guy over here who's literally running 5.5 miles a night and we couldn't bring back Gary Payton Jr.
Well, then you have to ask why they couldn't do it. And there's only one of two answers.
Money?
Money, or Gary Payton's not very good. And I didn't see enough of Gary Payton to make any kind of judgment on that. So I'm passing on that entirely. I'm saying that if they've been told, we've pushed the tech threshold as much as I want it pushed, then that's why you have what you have.
You can't buy a mansion in Seacliff and complain about the price of the gardener.
Well, I guess you can.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, I just there's always been something wrong with the argument that Joe Lacob would spend for anything. Because there are things that even he won't spend for. Because his net worth is tied directly into this team. He doesn't have like a ton of other businesses that he can use as props for this. You know, for the most part, he is a multi-billionaire because of this basketball team. And if he feels the pinch that tells him Gary Payton is not worth $20 million to me, then that's him making that call. Because Bob Myers is going to spend to whatever limit he's given. What I suspect is he spent to that limit.
I guess so.
Otherwise, you have to assume they're idiots.
Right. And no one's assuming that.
Right.
Nobody's assuming that the Warriors are idiots. But it just feels like that they have taken this all the way right up to the, here you are. You're at the final moment now. Are you going to get across this finish line or not? Joe Lacob's going to walk into Steph Curry's locker room, look him and Draymond in the